Okay, and so you were there for many years on that designing or
That when I moved out the planning office. This is another story now, actually, which links me into the packaging. When I was in the buying office, I was involved in the packaging on a buying angle of it. Then I was moved over to the planning office and was there a few years doing production planning with this chap Craig, who subsequently died while in service. Then we were trying to tie down packaging costs. Our packaging bill was massive. And Johnson and I suppose the board decided, look, we'll form a little committee group and we'll get them to try and devise a way of controlling the cost of our packaging in a better way, i.e. from purchasing back to buying the actual, from purchasing back to using the material. And a fellow called Ted Carroll, who was a type of engineer, it's very skilled on wrapping machine, and I was on the packaging side of it, and Jonathan headed up the two of us as a team to try and improve our packaging costs. And the buying department at that stage were going out, not exactly willy-nilly, but and just saying, well, we'll give that to Joe Bloggs type of thing, you know. But that's probably a bit of a simplification. But we devised a purchasing for inquiry form, which meant that they had to go and get three quotations. And in this way, we were able to control better the purchasing value of what we were spending on our packaging. And we would draw up these and send them out to the buying order, and they would then follow this and come back to us with the prices. And Jonathan and myself, we'd look at it maybe and decide, yeah, we couldn't exactly tell the buying office that to buy from yourself or whatever, you know, but we'd say we'd rather deal with these people that could. It didn't always work out that way, because when we did our best, but we did control it, we did tighten it all up, all right. I think I don't know what our packaging bill was when I left, but it would have been, it had dropped, say, production had dropped quite a bit before I retired, but at the height of it, I think we were spending well over 8 million on packaging alone. Now, not just on bit flexible film packaging, but color gift boxes, tins, and everything, you know.
And all of these were coming from the UK. Yeah, why couldn't you source the
same? We did, where we could, we did, because they didn't have the printing presses that we required to give us the quality of illustration that we wanted on the packet. There's three processes you can use for film printing. One is called flexographic, which is, it's a very crude but effective. It's really line work. You can't get tone work involved in it. You couldn't then. They are doing a bit in that area now, I understand, and doing it well, much better. But gravure printing, you could produce work of art nearly, and it could be done in four or five colours. But and there was lithography, which would only be used on flat printing, sheet printing. And to get the reproduction of the quality that we required in the illustration of the biscuit, we really had to go to gravure, and it wasn't really a choice. But the Irish printing houses like Bailey Gibson's, Healy's had a gravure press, and we used them quite a bit on Cream Cracker and other lines. Bailey's didn't really have a gravure press initially, and they had one towards the end. They're gone now, of course, but they got certain amount of business from us. They didn't have the skill levels that two or three of the UK operators had, who had been doing these for years. And who was the other crowd that we used to do business? Oh, yeah, they were a subsidiary of an English company, Superior Packaging, and they were owned by a group in England called Smith Brothers. And they were an Irish company, Superior, working in Finglas, and they were Irish operators, but I'm sure their profits, well, some of us salted back to the UK head crowd. I'm not 100% certain about that, but I think that, But we did quite a bit with them for a while, They were a good outfit. They're gone too. We took a lot out of the system when the factory closed down, and long before it closed down, actually, to be frank, because we were spending huge money packaging raw materials and everything else in this country, you know, big turnover.
So it was a great loss.
I would think so, yeah.
So it's just, so many other people do so well.
Yeah, you know? This is the thing, exactly. Like Smurf for corrugated cases, I can't remember what our bill there was, but it was thousands, hundreds of thousands a year, maybe, I'm sure it was 1 million a year. In fact, I'm sure it was, when I think about it.
Take me to the next stage then.
How did I get into there now? Yeah, I told you that by taking up the costing of our packaging.
Yeah.
And that's when I retired. I was still at that job when I retired. And we used to, what we had developed as well was what we call a specification sheet for all the packaging, whether it be a corrugated box, a tin, a Christmas tin, like an afternoon tea or a USA or a Coca-Cola group. And we had these technical drawings, and I would convert these into a specification sheet so that when the printer was given the order, he would get a copy of the spec sheet plus the grid layout drawing plus the artwork, which was derived from the grid layout.
And so he would also get his input into it, would he?
Yeah, well, he would. Yeah, well, I'd have discussed this long before the order was actually placed with him, because that's a bit contradictory in terms now.
But it makes it individual, doesn't it? You know, if you have a wrapper and you have your own part of it, you know, if you have your own information on it.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that, did you? Did you do no, individual stuff?
No, I did. I had no input into what was on the wrapper.
Oh, I see.
The marketing did all that.
Yes.
We would probably give them some help with regard to positioning of it on the wrapper. Ingredients listings they would get from our laboratory, and they would get the statistics with regards to